Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hit Chat Chit Chat. No group chat today. We have a little interview with myself, your host, Connor Reynolds. And today we have on Tanner Allen, a fourth-round draft pick with the Miami Marlins. Tanner, how you doing today, sir?
Good, man. Glad to be on. Love talking some baseball.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. I was just scrolling through TikTok and happened to find your account, and not to be a weird fanboy or anything, I've been to a few College World Series in attendance, and I've known who you are for a good long time, dude. Really like what you've been able to do over at Mississippi State and kind of following your career, and it was really cool, one, just to see you on TikTok, and I was like, oh, okay, all right. And then I threw in a little comment, and honestly, like, I put a lot of comments on different dudes. It was just like, hey, like, I have a podcast, you want to come on? We're not big or anything like that, so it hasn't been like, oh, I got to get on this guy's podcast. But you responded back and followed me, and we've been able to kind of chit-chat a little bit back and forth in the DMs, and to get you on, dude, I'm really excited.
Yeah, man, for sure. I always love talking baseball with anybody, so I'm excited to be on. I appreciate you reaching out.
Oh, of course, man, of course. Now, for anybody that may not know who you are, if you'd be kind of willing to give a little bio about yourself, like who Tanner Allen is and why they should kind of be tuning in.
Clearly my name, like you said, is Tanner Allen. I played 4 years at Mississippi State, and I'm currently playing with the Miami Marlins in the farm system. Just a little bit on my baseball resume. I was a three-time All-American at Mississippi State, national champion, national player of the year, SEC player of the year, SEC battle title. I've accomplished a lot in college, man. I got a really good baseball resume. And, I've been blessed throughout my whole career, but also at the same time, I earned it. And hard work, what you do in the dark will soon be brought to the light. So seeing some of that come to the light is pretty neat. But right now, just being a minor league grinder, man, and trying to work my way to the big leagues. That's my dream. And been a rough road. My whole baseball career has been up and down. Full of up and downs, but if you play baseball, you know that's the thing, man. Baseball is full of up and downs, so just excited to be on and ready to talk a little ball about that. That's just a little bit about me.
Let's go, baby. Like I said, it was really cool, one, to be able to watch you play in the World Series, and then two, to be able to kind of go through and just, you know, see you, one, giving back to the community, wanting to, you know, express of what you know from what you've been taught and stuff like that. So how did you kind of get mixed up when you're going through, like, where are you from? Like, are you from Mississippi? Is that where you're kind of living right now? Like, how did that process kind of get about?
So it was pretty neat. So after last season was over, I went home to Dolphin Island, Alabama. I live on the coast. And, you know, as a minor league baseball player, you don't make that much money, but for me, I really enjoy working with kids. So I was like, I'm going to do a few lessons. And I kind of put it on social media, and it blew up. And big time, I had people all over the country wanting to come down and hit. So it was really neat. And then, you know, when I was a young player and I was able to have access to really, really good coaching, it made a difference in my career. So this is my way of, man, if you're a kid out there and you don't know what you're doing or how to even start to learn to swing a baseball bat, or you're struggling, I'm going to do my best to help you, you know, because at one time I was that kid looking for help and needing a little guideship. And I'm excited to give back, man. I love doing that.
Dude, it's honestly like the best feeling in the world. And it's not always like those kids that are, you know, power five guys getting draft picks. Like, is working with like little Johnny, like little Timmy, that, you know, is just kind of figuring out. And then you're working on something, and all of a sudden they hit that one where it's just an absolute laser, and they look at you and it's like,
I did it.
Yeah, it's like, let's go, baby. Yeah. Like, that's the reward. Like, that's the best feeling in the world.
Not bad, man. So I was working with, like, a kid this past off season, and when he first started, he was pretty shaky, right? Pretty raw. He had nobody's ever shown him how to swing the bat. Or with him for like 20 minutes, and he was hitting it pretty good. He like left the cage and looked at his mom. Was like, I'm actually hitting the ball very hard, you know? And that is a really good feeling, because like I said, there's no better feeling than and hitting a baseball in a barrel.
It's and the thing is like, it's the feel, it's the sound, it's everyone else's reaction. Like, there's so many layers to it. And then to see that, like, light bulb kind of click on for him, man, it's the best feeling in the world.
No doubt, no doubt. And then see them get hungry for more. They want to learn more. They want to get better.
Yeah. It's like, we're just scratching the surface, baby. We're just scratching the surface. So how did kind of Mississippi State come along? Like, what was your high school career kind of like? What'd you do for training? What was Mississippi State, you know, were you one of the kids that got an offer as a freshman? Were we kind of like a late guy kind of getting an offer? Like, how did that process kind of go for you?
So it was really interesting. My freshman year, I was started getting a lot of attention. Clearly, I played summer ball around. And when you're getting recruited in high school, you want to be able to play good in front of the right people. And one thing that I did was when I was 12, 13, and 14, you know, there's no scouts watching the tournament at 12 and 13, right? So I spent the majority of my time getting ready for when it's going to count. And that was a difference in my career, because if you play right in front of the right people, that's how you get the offer, right? So actually out of high school, or right after, or I'd say out of high school, actually when I got in high school, I was committed to LSU for a year, maybe 2 years. I think it was 2 years. Yeah, it was 2 years, because I actually decommitted from LSU my senior year on signing day and committed to Mississippi State and signed with them the next day. It was pretty wild. The coach over there, the recruiting coordinator, Andy Canizero, who loved me and told me I was going to play at LSU from day one, got the head coach job at Mississippi State. And then the rest is history.
That's wild. So when you're going through and you're doing that process, was that something like, how quick was that coaching kind of turnaround of him going from recruiting guy at LSU to head guy at Mississippi State? Was it like boom, boom, boom? Was it like
Man, it was quick. It was literally last minute. My dad came in there into my room. I think I was like, it was like, Canizero just got the head job at Mississippi State and wants you to come with. And I immediately said, well, guess we're going maroon and white. You know, because, I mean, for all the young guys out there listening, that's one thing you learn in the recruiting process is you need to go to whoever wants you the most, because that's where you're going to play. How can you ever play professional baseball or get drafted if you're never playing, right? So for me, he wanted me bad, and that's where I wanted to go, was where I was going to play.
So if we're committed that early, right, what was your training looking like when you were in high school? Are we lifting? Are we hitting the cage all the time? Like, what was that training atmosphere like for yourself?
So this is when you commit, that's when the fun really begins, because now you got a target on your back, right? Everybody knows who you are. Every time you step on the field, oh, that guy's going to the SEC, right? So you really got to prepare yourself. There's a level of pressure on you as a player, because now everybody knows who you are, right? They don't want to see you on the field like, man, that guy's going to Mississippi State. He's 0-4, 2 Ks a day, right? You know what I mean? So for me in high school, yeah, I was working out 5 times a week, especially just being in high school, because I played football too, and I was still doing the football workouts during baseball season, stuff like that. But that's another story for a different time. But I will say this a little bit. When I was being recruited by LSU, one of the second or third things they asked me was about football, playing football. They're like, man, we love the football guys. They love guys that, you know, do multiple sports, and especially football, because football kind of makes you tough, right? That's what we want to be. We want to be gritty and tough. So that really helped me in my recruiting process as well. But as far as training goes and working out, yeah, it definitely got amped up. I can remember multiple times staying after everybody leaves, slip the lights on the field or in the cage and keep going. Because let's be honest, if you're the only swings you're getting during the day is during practice, you're not getting enough, because that's what everybody's doing, right? You got to do, if you want to be great and you want to play baseball at the next level, it's going to require another level of work. And for me, I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I got in the cage and figured it out.
Preach, brother. preached. And it's one of those things where I feel like a lot of high school athletes don't necessarily kind of understand that, you know, you may not be getting worse, but if everyone else is getting better, you're still like, there is separation that is occurring. So just because you go through and do the average, well, the average is the average because everybody does it. You want to go off and do something that only like 10% of high school baseball players are able to do. That's college. It's like 1% of the 10% that are able to get drafted. And so you're wanting to do this special, incredible thing that rarely anybody gets to do, yet you're putting in the effort that everyone already gives. And yeah. Then they don't understand why they're not getting what they want.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you really start getting after it, you're going to have guys make fun of you. You're going to have people make fun of you trying to be a tryhard, all this other stuff. I heard it my whole life, man. Because to be honest with you, they're jealous of the attention you got, and they're jealous of, man, that guy's actually going to play baseball in Division I in the SEC, right? And then they just try to be cool and make fun of you. That's not how that works. I can remember a guy in high school told me one time, you're going to go to Mississippi State just to clean cleats. And funny enough, those same pair of cleats are sitting right next to my national championship ring in my house. You know what I mean? That's just the truth, man. There's going to be people that are going to be our fellow, you know, teammates. They're going to be jealous of guys, or they're going to make fun of guys who work hard. But at the end of the day, yeah, hard work eventually will show. And it's a great feeling when it shows, believe me. Because all my buddies that I played with, there's only a couple that are still playing baseball. They're all got jobs, got families and stuff. I'm still the one that's still playing baseball. And that just didn't happen by accident. You know what I mean? It was the hours and hours and hours of building a swing, building a routine, working on defense, you know, base running, all this stuff, learning the game. It was hours upon hours. And like you said, man, you can't do what everybody else is doing and expect a different results. You got to go out on your own and put in the work.
I love it, man. I love it. So you had kind of run into it. You know, you had an offer from LSU. You committed early. I doubt it was just LSU and Mississippi State. Like, I'm sure that there were lots of other offers. What was kind of that recruiting process like for you? What was there, you know, emails and emails, letters after letters, lots of phone calls? Like, what did that process kind of look like for you?
So interesting you say this. I have hundreds of kids DM me a day trying to figure out how they can get recruited. You know what I mean? And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you have to send an email to somebody to get recognized, it's not going to happen. They are going to find you. They will find you. You remember what I said earlier? You got to play good in front of the right people, right? So a lot of guys always ask me about, who do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? Do I need to send emails? Do I need to change my Twitter bio? Do I need to tweet about this? That? Don't worry about all of that. You don't need to do that. All you got to focus on is getting your game better and preparing. Because every time you step on the field, somebody is watching. They don't care about your email. They don't care about your Twitter. You know, they don't care about Instagram followers. They don't care about your cool videos. They don't care about any of it. They want to see you play baseball and win games. That's what it boils down to. And for guys coming up nowadays, for me, I played one workout out of high school. I did one workout. One. I'm going to say that again. One. I know guys going all across the country every weekend spend thousands and thousands of dollars trying to get seen. And the reality is, when I said earlier, when everybody else was playing tournaments nonstop, when they were 12, 13, 14 years old, I was playing very little, but I was mainly grooving and training my body and getting my body and my swing ready to go for when it counted and paid off. So you got to play, but you don't need to kill yourself. You gotta prepare. And like I said, I went to the one workout. Next day, it was the entire SEC. It kind of happened very quick. Honestly, I was like, my dad was like, yeah, LSU just called him, like, Louisiana State. Like, he said, yeah. And then he's like, hold on, Auburn just called. And it was really, really neat. It happened so fast. And that was a really good feeling, though. That was a really good feeling because, like I said, I put in the hours and put in the work, played really good. And finally, somebody's like, man, we see something in this guy. That is a really good feeling.
Oh, and that's got to be the most, like, validating, like, thing as well. Like, I'm sure you probably, like, when other guys were playing and stuff like that, you know, there's the diamond, platinum, god tier, 8U travel team. And then,
yeah.
You know, I like to call it water cooler talk. I feel like it's those things are more for parents. So that way when they go to work on Monday, they can see out the water cooler. It's like, oh, hey, my little Billy did this weekend.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares, dude. Like, they're 8, they're 9, they're 10. You know, you're not even in high school yet, right? And so I'm sure there was like a lot of other, you know, classmates that you had and buddies that were off playing at all these crazy things. And you're just training. You're just, you know, putting in the work. Like you said, whatever you do in the dark, people are going to see in the light. And so I'm sure that wasn't like an easy process for you to, I'm sure there might've been times where you're looking at your pops and you're like, why can't I just go play? Like, why can't I just go into this big old tournament? And then all of a sudden you get those phone calls and it's like, that's why. Like,
that's why.
That's the reason. Like, how was it?
Another reason. Yeah. The feeling was great, but another reason, you know, these guys that play so early don't make it is because they get burnt out on it. Let's be honest here. Like you said, 10, 11, 12-year-old players, there's nobody coming to watch those games. You know what I mean?
Did you see someone put out that they had an 8U national team where they had like 6 kids from Oklahoma, like 6 kids from Texas, and 6 kids from California all fly into this perfect game tournament? I don't know. It was up on my Twitter feed not too long ago. But the coach is like going on bragging about how excited he is for the future for these 8-year-olds.
Well, here's the thing. That coach doesn't understand those boys haven't even hit puberty yet. You know what I mean? And it's getting out of hand. It really is. But don't get me wrong, man. If they want to do that and have fun, let them do it. All my buddies were playing baseball, playing tournaments every weekend. I was playing football. Right? I was playing football. Probably hit on Sunday afternoon before the week started, you know, just to keep the swing grooved. It didn't take much, 50 swings maybe, just to keep the swing groove. I had a high school coach came up and told me, he said, look, remember, you're going to make your money on the diamond, not the football field. I said, I know that, but I love playing football, right? But these kids nowadays, they play year-round. They're going to get burned out. They're going to be, you'll have a sixth grade stud and you'll have an 11th grade dud. That's what happens. They get burned out. They get burnt out on it. And the people don't understand. 8-year-old kid needs to go to the beach on the weekends and have fun. Need to go spend time with friends. You know what I mean? He doesn't need to be taken and spent thousands upon thousands of dollars traveling all across the country, play in a national travel ball. It's unbelievable. All these guys that played travel ball in high school with me, that played all the time, traveled, spent all the money, they're working jobs right now, right? I got a national championship ring, and I'm playing professional baseball.
It works out, baby.
It works out, but you got to stay disciplined to it.
Yes, sir. So what was that process like for you going into Mississippi State? Were you like a starter right away? Was it something that you had to work into? What was the kind of shock factor like? We had one of my guys that trained with me this offseason. He went to Indiana. And he said, you know, it was kind of like a culture shock, a little shell shock, once he got there, what the weight room was like, how guys kind of like went about their business. So was there anything like that for you, first coming in as a freshman?
Yeah, it was a culture shock for sure. Cause it was like, man, this is the big boys. This is where the big boys play. Right. Cause don't get me wrong, man. Every kid that goes to SEC school as a freshman, they get there, they've been the big fish in the small pond, right? Well, now they're the small fish in the big pond. You're at the bottom of the totem pole. And the best way to go about it is keep your mouth shut and let your game talk. And because the guys who have been in the locker room for 3 years, they don't care about your high school accolades. They don't care, right? They don't care. They can literally care less. So when you get in there, you keep your mouth shut, you put the work in, you earn your respect. That's what I did my freshman year. I was fortunate enough to start every single game in my career at Mississippi State until COVID took over. I broke my hand diving for a ball in the outfield, and I missed some games. But other than that, I started every single game in my career at Mississippi State. And that was mainly because I got in there. I tried to keep my mouth shut, respect the older guys. They've been there. They know how to do things. Follow their lead. You know what I mean? Learn from them. And then let your game talk. And a lot of young guys, when they step up on the big stage, they get kind of shy. Freshmen, they don't like, man, all these guys are good. If there's anybody out there now that are just committed to playing SEC, your first day of practice, you're going to doubt yourself because of how good these guys are around you. But you're there for a reason. And I believe I was there for a reason because I knew I could hit and I could play baseball. So keep going. You'll get used to it.
What was the feeling like playing in the World Series? Playing in Omaha, going through. Did you play at Rosenblatt?
I did not.
Or just TD?
I went to TD Ameritrade 3 times, man, playing World Series 3 times. And it was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen, I ever played in, no doubt. 30,000 people at the games. Like I said, national TV, man, it was really cool. But just being able to share that moment with, you know, your family, you know, all your family, all your friends up there coming to see you play, and then your teammates who you look and watch go through heck and all things just like you did to finally make it there, it's a really good feeling. And the most fun day is always day one because you get to take BP on the field, band-aids, autographs, all kinds of stuff. But they do it right up there, man. It's a really good environment and a really good place to play baseball. I'll never forget it, man. I will never forget it. Never forget it.
That's awesome. And it's one of those things where, like, you're growing up and it's like that's where you want to go. Like, obviously, like, pro ball when you're little is, I want to be a professional baseball player. But, like, once you kind of get into, like, middle school and you start, like, kind of understanding the CWS, the College World Series, going to Omaha, you play in, like, I don't know if you ever played in the Omaha Slump Busters. I'm here in Colorado, so it's, like, a six-hour drive to go up and be able to watch some college games, you know, playing a little tournament and whatnot. But, like, the CWS, like, that's special, man. That's something different. And to just be able to be a part of that, where were you at in the dog pile when you guys won?
On the top.
Let's go.
No way I was going, no way I was going to be on the bottom. Thankfully, I was playing right field. We got the final out, and I was kind of the last guy to the dog ball. And I jumped on the top, and then nobody really remembers, but I kind of got this feeling I needed to go talk to Kumar Rocker right as we won because, I mean, he was – dominating baseball all year long. Guy's really good. And we did get him that day. But I felt like, I guess God put on my heart to go over there and tell him, hey, man, you had a heck of a season. You're a heck of a player. It was an honor being able to go head-to-head in a national championship against you. You know, but nobody ever saw that. And I think that was one of the cooler moments in my career, being able to go up to him after that and kind of, you know, mano-a-mano, shake hands and say, you know what, you earned it. Good game. That was pretty neat.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Do you have any kind of like highlight players or anything like that? Like you remember playing, maybe seeing the first time or anything like that? Any like big names that anybody might know these days?
Yeah. I remember my freshman year playing against what was his name? Casey Mize, first rounder from Auburn. Like, number one overall pick. I faced him. And my second at bat, I hit a triple off the center field ball off of him. And I remember I got to third. I was like, man, that was cool. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, I just hit a ball off the wall of Casey Mize. Probably be number one overall pick. Next at bat, he made me Twitter famous with a splitter. Made me look like an idiot. But yeah, that was
baseball, baby.
That's baseball.
That's awesome. For you, when you're going through, did your training change at all going from high school as a multi-sport athlete into college? Did that process kind of change anything like that for you?
Of course, because now I was focusing on baseball year-round, right? In high school, I was a quarterback, so half the year I was focusing on learning offense, being able to throw the football, right? And when I got to college, I was able to focus on baseball fall and spring, and it really helped my game a lot because there was some stuff I needed to work on, just like everybody, man. Even hanging around some of these big leaguers, they're all working on something. There's nobody that's got it all the way figured out, right? So we're all working on something, and it was able, and I was able to learn a little bit about myself and make my game better just by being able to focus on baseball more.
Did you have like a facility that you go and train with like during the summer? Did you go and play in the Cape Cod? Like, what was that process like for you when you weren't at Mississippi State on campus?
I was able, right when I graduated high school, 3 days later, they sent me straight to Bethesda, Maryland, and that's where I played summer league as a high schooler. In the college league, man, and it was tough, buddy. I'd struggled. Big transition, right? But other than that, I was fortunate enough to go play in the Perfect Game League in New York after my freshman year. That was really fun. And then I was really blessed after my sophomore year to play for Team USA on the collegiate baseball team. I went overseas. We went to Taiwan and Japan. That was a really, really good experience. And then COVID hit and clearly couldn't do any summer ball after that. So, but Team USA was awesome.
That's incredible. And I coached with a travel team for the last 3.5 years. I'm not anymore. But when I took my group on, they were a bunch of freshmen, worked them all the way through until their senior year. For me, my process, when I ended up graduating, I went and played in college league as well. And once I got to my freshman semester, I felt like I was, you know, still behind the eight ball of all the guys that have been playing for 3 or 4 years. But amongst the other freshmen, I felt like I had a kind of a little bit of a leg up. Did you notice anything like that when you're going through?
Of course. Some of the guys in my class that went to Mississippi State enrolled early and were able to get to campus and kind of get used to campus and how things work around Mississippi State practice-wise. Me, I went and played, and I guess I kind of felt like I had a little edge on everybody else because I knew how good the pitching was, right? I was able to kind of adjust to how good the pitching. Everybody throws 92, 94 now. In high school, you might see one guy here that throws 90 miles an hour, right?
Yep.
And that is a big transition, a huge transition. Everybody has velocity. And being able to play those summer leagues, even when I was 16, 17 years old, being able to play in those big-time travel ball tournaments, you know, because once I committed, they immediately put me in the best of the best group to be able to go in and make me even better, you know what I mean? And that helped a lot. That helped tremendously. I played with Team Ruchu, and my coach was Chad Rayleigh. Awesome dude, man. We always played the best of the best, so that made us even better because – like I said, when I got to Mississippi State as a freshman, it was, wow, these guys are really good. I hope I'll be able to play here, you know. But being able to play against the best of the best when I was 16 or 17 years old, definitely a difference in my career.
And it's one of those where it's such a changing of your life, going from high school, you're living with the parents. You know, laundry gets done for you, food's always there, and then all of a sudden you're kind of not with the family. All of a sudden you're in your own dorm. You've got, like, the school schedule is different, but you still got a good amount of work in. Now, instead of baseball being something that, you know, you do with the buddies and you go hit a few more baseballs, now it's like a job, right? So what was that difference like for you? I know we talked a little bit about it, like walking into the weight room and seeing those guys, but like, what was it like the social side of everything? What was it like that the school side of everything? Like, how much of a kind of like culture shock was that going from high school to Mississippi State?
Well, I grew up in a small town where kind of everybody knew everybody, and going to a totally new town where I didn't know but like a couple of people, it was definitely a culture shock. But the more I hung around the baseball team and more I went to practice and hung around those guys, and like I said, try my best to not say anything stupid, just keep my mouth shut and work, and then kind of earned my respect around there, and that's when it started to really take off and have fun. When you have a locker room full of guys that get along, man, there is nothing more fun in this game is to hang out with those guys every single day, go to practice and play, you know, on the weekends, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, even the midweek games, man, it is so fun. So it was definitely a big adjustment for me. Like I said, I didn't know anybody. I know two people. And then the rest was the baseball team and baseball guys. And it was really neat because I'd go around campus and not know anybody And then, obviously, my last year at Mississippi State, I kind of blew up really big. And I remember people coming up to me, like, man, we had class freshman year together. That's wild that you were the one that helped us bring the first national championship to Mississippi State ever. I was like, yep, man, that was pretty neat. That was a very satisfying moment, too, because, you know, most people be like, man, that's kind of boastful. It's not to me because I earned that. You know what I mean? People don't see the hours and hours of work put in behind the closed doors to earn that. You know what I mean? But those people in Starkville are awesome, man. Awesome. Great place to live. Great people. And I think that's why we were so good. We had such a great support.
When did the new stadium come in?
My freshman year. So funny story is the fall of my freshman year, we did not have a stadium to practice in. So we would practice on the softball intramural fields. I'm not lying to you. We did it over there. It was wild. But that was kind of my freshman year, that was kind of a chip on our shoulder. We're like, man, we don't even have a field to practice on, but we're going to be beating some folks. You know what I mean? And my freshman year, we were a greedy bunch, man. Went to Omaha, and at one time in a year, we were like 3-7 in SEC play.
Not great.
Not great. Nobody remembers how you start. Everybody remembers how you finish.
Yes, sir, most definitely. So what was the draft process like for you? So like you said, you know, last year you blew up at Mississippi State, but I know you've been on the radars of a lot of people for a while in the baseball community. So what was that process like of getting drafted? Was that something that you kind of felt around leaving high school? They kind of got a little idea of maybe some questionnaires and stuff like that. But what was that process like for you?
Man, questionnaires is right on the money. Every team might have you fill out a questionnaire. That's aggravating, but if you want to play professional baseball, you got to do it, right? And, I got drafted out of high school. I was really, really, really convinced, or I guess you could say I really made my mind up I was going to college out of high school. Because, for one, I wanted to kind of get away and kind of be on my own, see what that was like. And to go to Mississippi State and play to such a place that where baseball is loved, man, that was really neat to me as well. And I kind of wanted to get the college experience and kind of get organized before I tried to play football. And it worked out because, like I said, I was able to go to Omaha 3 times and win a national championship the 3rd time. So things work out, and got drafted again my sophomore year. I knew there was something inside of me that said, you gotta go back. I was a sophomore eligible guy, and I was like, you know what, I'm going back. I'm going to go back. And there's some things I need to improve on my game, but mainly I went back because I loved Mississippi State so much, and it would take a lot of money to get me away from it. And it turned out for the best. I was able to come home with a ring on my finger.
Let's go. So what was it like getting that phone call in the 4th round? Like, you'd gotten the phone calls previously. I don't think they were 4th round calls. But this day, like, is 4th round day one or is that day two?
Day two.
Okay. So day two phone call, 4th round, like, did you have the family around? Were you guys like out at a barbecue? Like, what was that like?
Funny story. So when I got the phone call, I was actually fishing in the Gulf of Mexico. I was on the boat with like 2 of my best friends, and we were just fishing around an old rig, just not really offshore, just in the bay. And I got the phone call that the Marlins were going to take me in the 4th round with the next pick, and that was really cool. I was like, man, I got to share this moment with my best friends. That was really neat, who I grew up playing with, who always been there for me. And that was probably the neatest part about it. And then seeing folks that I hadn't heard from in a while reach out and congratulate me, that meant the world to me as well. It was a really cool moment. But yeah, I was actually fishing, doing what I love.
That's awesome. Did the one dude that told you you're going to be cleaning cleats in Mississippi State, did he call and congratulate you?
I hadn't heard from him. Yep, I hadn't heard from him.
That's how it always works out, isn't it?
I know. Like I said, I'll never forget that. Guy told me I was going to be cleaning cleats at Mississippi State. And you know what? He was trying to be funny at the time. But deep down inside of me, that kind of made me mad because I knew how hard, like, there was nobody else doing what I was doing on my baseball team, on my high school team. Nobody else was staying and hitting. Nobody else was working out like I was. And I would get harassed or I'd get, you know, made fun of all the time just because I was trying to make myself better and do something with my baseball career because I knew that's what I wanted to do. And you know what? I kind of just put earplugs in and blocked out everybody and focused on me. And it's funny. One of those guys that used to make fun of me actually reached out to me trying to get tickets to a super regional my last year at State. And if I'd have had tickets, I would have given them to him. But I had so much family coming that I didn't have. I ran out. But the first thing came to my mind was like, man, this guy right here, probably one of the guys that used to really make fun of me for trying to make myself better at what I love doing. You know, but hey, man, I have mercy on everybody. You know what I mean? I'd have given him the tickets if I'd have had them.
Let me guess. You probably asked for two tickets, one for him, and then he'd been chopping it up with some lady. And he's like, oh, I know Tanner Allen, man. Like,
That's how it works, man. That's how it works.
So your process of how you were training going from high school to college changed. What does your process look like going from college to professional with this being your first year going into that? Like, what has that process been like? What have you been doing? What have you changed, or have you kind of just kept it rolling?
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I thought the transition from high school to college was bad or tough. Transition from college to pro ball was really tough because the intensity just keeps getting more and more intense. And just keeps going, man. Because like I said, high school, you're probably playing 3 times a week. College, you're probably playing 5 times a week. Now, pro ball, you're playing 6 times a week. So it's just nonstop. It took me a while to learn how to be able to take care of your body, make sure you feel good every single day. You know what I mean? And then I've also learned from college to pro ball, man, you're just another number out there for them. You know what I mean? In college, I was loved and I was valued. Now, don't get me wrong. I think I'm still valued in pro ball, but it's different. And it's kind of like starting all over again, right? Got to keep the mouth shut and just let your game talk and do your best to show up and take care of your business, right? That's how it works. And coming to pro ball, clearly had to pick up the wood bat. A little bit different, right? It's got a little different feel. The aluminum bat, I could kind of whip it through the zone. This one's got a little more barrel weight to it, so I had to get used to it. And I got, like I said, playing every single day. You really got to manage your time wisely, very wisely, because the last thing you want to do is show up and feel terrible before a game. So that's a lot more time spent preparing for a game, as in stretching, ice bath, hot tank. I mean, everything, man. Everything, it all boils down into one ball of wax. And you got to grind it out. Just keep going every single day, every single day. And but I'm getting used to it. I love it. There's nothing like being able to play baseball, man. It's a fun game. It'll teach you a lot about yourself. So I'm excited for this year. I'm down to spring training right now. And we've been getting after it. It's been hot down here too, believe me.
Where are you at right now? I'm not too familiar with where the Marlins are at for spring training.
So I'm in Jupiter, Florida right now. Really nice place. Really nice. Weather's hot. I think I'm going to go fishing here in a little bit. Yeah. Well, got to get away from it every now and then. You know what I mean? After baseball practice, clear your mind because of how you can't. One thing I've learned throughout my career is whatever happens at the field, leave it at the field. You know what I mean? If you have a rough day and you go for a couple strikeouts, when you come out of that locker room and you go home, leave it at the field. Do not take it with you because then you're going to be bothering everybody around you, right? Easier said than done. Same way for a good day, though, right? You have a good day. Clearly, yeah, your family's going to love to hear about it, but there might be a guy you go home with, you know, that's your roommate that probably didn't have a great day. You don't want to hear about how good your day was. Leave it at the field. Because at the end of the day, you're coming back and doing the same thing again tomorrow, right? And that's one thing I learned as well. You got to take it day by day. Take it day by day.
And it's one of those where if you get too caught up in the highs, you get too caught up in the lows. Now we're just on a roller coaster. It's tough. It's tough. And so I think for you, you to be able, one, to kind of get a hold of that this early in your professional career, but then two, for anybody listening, kind of be able to take that in, it's something special. And it's something that, like, personally, I wasn't able to do. And there's a lot of other people that are, you know, I'm coaching now. I joke with all my guys. I should have made my debut last year. I'm 26. I should have made my debut last year. Mm-hmm. I'm here coaching. There's a lot of reasons why I'm not making my debut, and I'm here coaching. And it's one of those where it's the between the years. It's the mental. It's how, not always how you handle it on the field, but what are you doing off the field, right? And mm-hmm. that's something that I think a lot of people, either they learn it when it's too late, or, you know, lucky enough in your situation to kind of grasp that as early in your career as you have.
Take it day by day, baby. Never too high, never too low. Because it goes both ways. Even if you have a good day, man, you show up to the yard next day, hey, you got to do it again, right? Got to do it again. You have a bad day, so what? You play it again in 24 hours. Let's go. And
We just had a couple live ABs going. One of my guys pieced up a ball, was like 102 in the gap, and he's getting all big and everything. Very next pitch, because we were just going like six pitches and go. Very next pitch, dude throws a nasty curveball in the straight into the dirt. Dude goes fishing, and it's like, hey, like, that's how it works, baby. That's baseball.
Yes, it works. In a way, you cannot get comfortable, as in, you start doing good, you're like, oh, I don't need to hit it. I don't need to do my routine. I don't need to. All I got to do is show us. You got to stay away from that. You got to stay disciplined to what makes you good. And I've been a victim of it. We've all been a victim of it. You know what I mean? You go up there, your first bat, you hit a homer, your first bat. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a good night. And then you probably walk a little bit slower to the plate, a little bit more swag, right? And then you go up there and strike out. That's how it works. You cannot be too high. You cannot be too low. Got to take it one day at a time, one pitch at a time.
Complacency kills excellence.
That's right. Everything. That's right.
So, do you, when you're going through, besides fishing, what are some other things that you kind of like to do to kind of get yourself away from the field? Are you a video game player? Like, what's you doing? What's up?
So, I love hanging out with the guys down here. That's a really good group of guys. So we'll normally, like, spring training, we got done today probably by 1 o'clock. I came here, played a little Call of Duty, been on the war zone. And then we're about to go fishing this afternoon. And then after we're done fishing, here you go. probably go eat some dinner tonight and then get home and maybe play one or two more games of Call of Duty and get ready for tomorrow. You can't just sit in my room and just harp on everything, right? Can't harp on my bats, what I was doing wrong. Break down my swing, because then you get it's crazy, man. The mind is a powerful thing. You gotta learn to control it, because those negative thoughts will creep in and just ruin your day. Instead of staying positive, always stay positive. And for me, getting away from it kind of clears my head. Be like, you know what, tomorrow's a new day, getting back after it,
a little reset. Are we an Xbox, are we a PlayStation, are we a PC guy?
PS5.
There you go. So what's the class? Like, what's the go-to? You got some other guys talking shit. You hear them on proximity chat or in the lobby or whatever. Like, what's the go-to class?
My class right now, man, I'm running the M4. I love the M4. It doesn't have that much recoil. And then I normally run a sniper as a backup, but I've also been running the, it's not the MP7, but it looks like it. I can't remember the name of it. It looks just like the MP7. It's the first submachine gun. I think it's the Val. Anyways, I've been running it too. And the proximity chat's very fun. But the main reason I play Call of Duty is to be able to be in touch with my friends back home, because they all do it. That is the best. Man, that gets you through the year. Because like I said, I'll be gone for 6 months. And be able to every night get on and be able to talk with the boys, man. You talking about take all the stress away from you from the game? Oh, it'll do it real quick.
Well, and the other beauty about it is, I mean, they're the boys, right? Like,
yeah.
You get on, you're probably not talking about, oh, hey, Tanner, you know, I was watching today's game, man, and it looks like the front elbow is getting a little bit here. Like, hey, you're just chopping it up. You're just going through, you know, talking about old times, talking about what they got going on in their lives. Yeah. Like, there's that reset, you know?
I mean, think about this. If you got a guy, if you got somebody that is a doctor, they don't want to go home and talk about what all they did the whole day. You know what I mean? They're like, can I just get a break from it? It's the same thing with baseball. Now, dude, don't get me wrong. Do I love talking baseball? Love it. But sometimes I'm like, you know, my best friend, I'm like, dude, what's going on back home? One of my best friends just had a kid. I'm like, how's Junior doing? You know, I call him little Junior. So how's Junior doing? Just to get your mind away from it. And having been able to have friends that could care less what my baseball career turns into is awesome. Like, man, we don't care if you're struggling, if you're not. They've been there since before I was TA. You know what I mean? That everybody knew that was, you know, balling in college baseball and got drafted. I was just a little old guy from Theodore, Alabama, who loved to hunt and fish and play baseball.
Hey, can't ask for more.
Can't ask for more, man. That's what I want to do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So for you, do you have any like books that you've read? Are you a big podcast guy? Any YouTube channels, Twitter accounts, Instagram accounts, TikTok accounts? Like, what are some of like the go-tos that you really like, whether it's, you know, for baseball or just kind of to help reset and kind of get a bigger picture of everything else? Like, what are some of the go-tos that you have?
Man, so I do mainly two things. I like to hear, Inky Johnson is really good. He's got some really good stuff. And then I do like to listen, or I guess you could say, hold on, my mind's going in many different ways for this one. This is because there's a lot of things. One of them for sure, man, is I read the Bible a little bit, man, and it kind of relaxes me in a way because, I mean, just being able to dive into God's word and be able to just read and know that I'm playing in a way, you know, my baseball career is for him. I mean, he's in control of everything that I do. So it kind of, in a way, brings me a freedom and a peace knowing that, hey, you know what, I'm going to work my heart and do my job and let him take care of the rest. If he don't want me to be a baseball player, I'll find something else and I'll follow his direction whichever way he takes me. You know, and that brings me so much peace, man. It brings me so much peace. But I like doing that. And then I like the Mentality page on Instagram too. They post some good stuff. They post some really, really good stuff. You know, just talking about, like, for me, one of them was, you know, when before you get big, they'll make fun of you. When you start working, they really make fun of you. When you succeed, they'll act like they know you. I lived it. And don't get me wrong, I don't have any kind of bitterness towards those people at all.
You don't forget either.
You don't forget. It's like you said, it's mainly for motivation. You know,
throw that shit on the shoulder, baby. Let that shit be
exactly.
I feel that, man. We had, before we started recording, you had mentioned something about a course.
Yeah.
Want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, man. So main thing I'm doing is just, like I said, trying to give back to the young guys. Because I told you earlier, the difference in my career was having great coaching at a young age and learning to do it the right way. And that's the way I'm trying to do it. So I got a course that I created. It is top-notch quality, top-notch information. If you don't know the swing, you will learn the swing. And it's everything I know about hitting, divided into 22 videos. I think it's like an hour and a half worth of content. It's everything I know, man. I put a lot into it, and I'm trying to get it out there. I've had some good feedback on it. I know I've helped a lot of guys. I've had, you know, a guy that actually went to Mississippi State my last year at State, who actually ended up transferring out. I worked with him a lot. Really good dude. His name is Shane Lewis. He plays at Troy now. And he was just National Player of the Week last week. He hit like three bombs on the weekend, tearing it up. And I worked with that guy a lot, man. And he even, you know, texted me like, dude, your videos are helping me. Not on the mechanical part, on the mental side of the game. You know what I mean? Because I told him, like, Shane, dude, your swing is great. You got to just learn to groove it, learn to repeat it, and then have the let your hair down mentality in the game and let it rip.
I love that. I love that.
And
how is
like, I was just gonna say, if they want to check it out, if anybody wants to check it out, just it's real easy, baby. TannerIslandBaseball.com.
Let's go, baby. Make it easy for the people.
That's it.
Make it easy. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Tanner. Is there anything else that you'd like to kind of throw out there for the people?
Yeah, I'd say this. Young guys in baseball, remember this. If you succeed 3 out of 10 times, you're an All-American, you're an All-Star. That means the other 70%, you're failing. That's part of it. Everybody goes through struggles. I've gone through struggles. My worst year of my career was last year. Struggled big time, but I learned from those struggles, and I keep going and make adjustments. So just because you ain't got it figured out, don't give up. Keep going, because all it might take is one little thing to click, and you could take off. So stay at it, and if they ever need any help, hey, TannerIslandBaseball.com. I've even had kids DM me nonstop for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I try my best to respond to all of them to help them. But I'm here to help the next generation baseball players come up and learn the right way.
Hey, and I can vouch for it too. Like I said, like, I think I got a couple thousand on TikTok, which on TikTok it's kind of easy to get a couple thousand, right? I you know, commented on one of your videos. We went back and forth. I think it's been within a week of us like first, you know, interacting to, you know, hear you're on the podcast. So he does get to as many from, you know, what I can tell, all of them. So, you know, I think you're a really good dude, man. And to be so willing to be trying to give back to the community and do what you're doing, I mean, it's something that I've been trying to do. I was blessed with some really good coaches when I was younger. And so that's the whole main focus, is just trying to prepare this next generation so that way they can continue this amazing sport that we both love.
That's right, man. That's what it's all about.
Oh, beautiful, man. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for your time. And for everybody listening, we will be back next week.